Praise God. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet,
yes,
saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man.
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. Looking at this, John says, I was your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then he says, Brother Jason, that I was in the isle that is called Patmos.
Yep.
He didn't say, Brother Earl, that I was on the isle, but he said I was in the isle. And as I began to look at this some time ago, this little word in caught my attention, that he was in tribulation and he was in the kingdom and he was in the isle. We would have said I was on the isle.
Yep.
But John was describing to us the situation that he was in. This word in is a preposition that expresses the situation that something or someone appears to be enclosed or surrounded by. So John is giving the picture that he's not out here on an island, but he is in a situation that he really does not want to be in. It was not of his desire or his will to be upon the Isle of Patmos. So what were you saying, John? I was in the isle. I was in tribulation. I was in trouble. I was surrounded. I was in a situation that I didn't like, that I didn't understand. Well, what did you do, John, when you were in? I'll tell you what he done. He was looking for a way out, brother. But what did he do? He got in instead. Or he said, not only I was in tribulation, not only was I in the isle, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. Have you ever been there, some situation that you didn't really want to be in? Amen. You were surrounded by circumstances that you couldn't control, that you did not understand why you were there. And you sometimes ask the Lord, amen, why did this trouble come my way? Amen. Why am I on the aisle? Amen. Why am I in this situation? Why did this have to happen to me? But as I began to read this and pray about it, the Lord spoke to my heart. Amen. And said, go back to verse number 1. And I'll tell you exactly why John was on the aisle. Amen. For it was this, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He put John in that island that he might reveal himself in a greater way. Amen. Lord, why am I here? Why am I in this situation? I'll tell you why you're there tonight. Because he wants to reveal himself, amen, to you in a greater way.
Woo. Praise God.
Ask the Lord, why am I flat broke? Why does everything look like it's going down the drain? Why is my bills behind? And all I can hear, Brother Tommy, is that I can show you and reveal myself to you that I'm still Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Why am I sick? Why am I afflicted? That I might reveal to you, amen, that I'm still Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. Amen. So what am I going to do in my circumstance? I come to tell somebody tonight, I understand that you're in it. I understand that you're surrounded, but I'm going to tell you the only way out. but Gideon. The only way out of the trouble you're in is to get in his presence. It's to worship God. It's to lift him up and magnify his name.
Amen.
You ever had the devil whisper in your ear?
Oh yeah.
If you hadn't done that, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in. Amen. If you'd have done this or so, your children wouldn't be lost. Your children wouldn't be backslid. If you'd have done it different, Pastor, they'd have never left the church. Amen. Oh Lord, that's voices that we have to deal with. Amen. But all the while, amen, we gotta understand, John, you weren't here because you'd sinned. John was not here because he'd done wrong. John was simply here because he stood for the truth.
Right.
Because when Domitian made a decree that everybody would bow before him and proclaim Domitian is Lord, amen, John's turn came. And John looked at Domitian and he looked at the crowd and he turned his back to the emperor and said, Jesus Christ is Lord alone. Amen. So it was for the testimony of Christ that John was on this island. And we need to understand tonight, every circumstance that we face is not because of our failure. It's not because of our sin, but it is to put us in a place, amen, that God can reveal himself, amen, to you and I.
Right.
Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. We got an expression at home when we get in trouble and we're fighting it. We say we're in it. You ever been in it?
Yeah.
I've been in it a time or two. It seems like that's all my life's consisted of, Brother Jason. Yeah. Is one trouble and one trial after another.
Yeah, come on.
One battle and one struggle after another. But I read that sometime and someday that we're going to come out of this.
Right.
Amen. For John, he recorded later on, Jesus spoke to him and said, amen, these are they that came out of great tribulation. I'll tell you how they got out of the trouble they were in. They got in the Spirit just like John did. Amen. They got in the presence of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when I get into it, I get in it. My Lord, there ain't nothing helps us like getting in his presence. Amen. Why? For he is a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. David said, I cried to the Lord in my distress, and he heard me, and he delivered me out of all my troubles. Have you ever been in it? What do you do when you get in it? Amen. That's what makes the difference. Amen. Your outlook will affect your outcome in every situation that you face.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Amen. Habakkuk was a man that knew what it was like to be in it in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. Amen. That prophet of God, everything was failing around him. The economy of that day was collapsing. Amen. The government of that day was wicked. It was a dark hour for his people. But he stood to stand and he stood to say, although the fig tree shall not blossom, amen, though there be no herd in the stall, though there be no fruit on the vine, and the labor of the olive shall fail, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. Amen. You know what he done in the situation he was in? He said, I've got to make a conscious decision. I've got to make a choice. And that choice was to rejoice. Amen. We can look at our circumstance and let it beat us down and pull us back and drive us crazy. Amen. We can say, I might be in the aisle, but I'm going to get out by getting in the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Man after man in the Bible, story after story, that we can read of how men were in it. We can read about those three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace. Amen. What did they do? They burn up. That was it for them. No, sir. They looked at that king and they said, oh, king, our God is able to deliver. But if he don't, but if not, amen. Oh, Lord. Lord, is that your attitude tonight? I may be in it. Undesirable circumstances all around me. Amen. So what? If Joe Biden does win the election, it ain't because I voted for him. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do, brother. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, sister. I'm going to put on my clothes and go to the house of God. And I'm going to lift up my hands and say it didn't go my way. But oh, Lord, you're still on the throne. I'm still going to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen. And that's what they've done. Our God's able to deliver. But if you don't turn this thing around, I'll tell you, I'm going to serve him till I die. Amen. Oh, Lord. And it wasn't long they looked in. Oh, King, did we not throw in three? We threw three in. We put them in there. Oh, but they're up walking around. They're loose. But they're not in there alone. Amen. How did they get through that fiery trial of their faith? They got in his presence. Amen. When they begin to lift him up. Amen. He came to them just like he said he would. Amen. He said, I'll inhabit the praises of my people. Amen. My God, what you need to do tonight is quit looking at the circumstance and get in his presence.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
They were in it. They were in the fire like they've never been in the fire.
Right.
Go, Lord. And we think because we got a pass-through electric bill, man, it's bad times. And yeah, I agree, it is. Our car breaks down, it's bad times. Yeah, I understand it is. Lord, help. But oh, when we look at these men that really went through the fire and we compare ourselves to them, how are we going to stand in judgment? Amen. Because they worshiped him at their dying hour and he delivered, my God. I've been preaching for some time now. Great God, help me right here. Oh, Mixler, we got our Mixler app going. When this first started, we had to close down. Me and Brother Wayne go out there at the church. And then, you know, after he got to sing, there's a few services I was there by myself. And I tried to be a voice of old Brother Earl. And I got so sick and tired one Sunday. Man alive, I just shot every devil I could shoot at. Them folks that want to lay at home and hypocrite around and use this virus for an excuse not to go to church. Amen. My God, how they expect to stand in judgment against these widows that would go home knowing that their husband was going to black their eyes and put them in a cold porch swing. How they going to stand in judgment against men of God that were burned at the stake. They were in it, but they realized the secret to survival is to get into his presence.
Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Hey, God.
Yes, Lord.
I'm preaching to us tonight,
Jesus. Yes,
holy God. Our only way out of our undesirable circumstances is to get in. Yeah. Ain't that the craziest thing you ever heard? Praise God. They came out of Egypt in Exodus 14. Man, they were surrounded. They were pushed up against that Red Sea, nowhere to go.
Right.
Brother Tommy, there they were. What a circumstance. Yeah. You know what they said, Moses? Yeah. Why'd you bring us out here to kill us?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wasn't the graves in Egypt good enough? You brought us out here to kill us. No. I brought you out here because God wants to reveal himself.
Yeah, that's it.
To you, my God. When the Holy Ghost began to show me this and to speak to my heart about this, I come apart. Amen. I looked at my troubles a lot different after that. Amen. That in everything I face, he wants to reveal himself to me. Oh, Lord, is that your desire to know him and to make him known? I want to know him in a greater way. So here he is. He's brought them out to the Red Sea. Amen. Pharaoh's behind them and they're closing in. And he puts darkness between them. Hey, I don't like darkness either, but he put darkness between them. And it wasn't long. Moses stretched his rod out and he said, y'all just stand still a minute. Amen. And see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. How are we going to get out of this, Moses? Just hold on a minute. I'm fixing to show you what God's going to do. Amen. And those waters began to roll back and stand up on a heap. They didn't disappear. Amen. They didn't soak in the ground. That water stood up on a heap. Amen. Like a brick wall. I believe as they're going through there, they can count the fish. Amen. They can see what was in the water. Amen. But God rolled those waters back. How'd they get out of there? They got in the midst midst of that sea. Amen. Oh, Lord. And they walked across on dry ground. They didn't even get their feet made. Amen. Those three Hebrew boys didn't even smell like smoke. You're going to come through it if you just get in it and worship God with everything in you. You ever look at that word shout and break it down? I like to do word studies. That word shout, take off that SH and it says out. I'll tell you how I'm going to get out. The old commercial before I got saved said shout it out. Woo! Spray you some of that stuff on there and get rid of the stain. I'm going to...
Glory!
First time I ever preached in, I looked on my shoulder and said, shh, out. Shh, I'm coming out.
That's it.
You be quiet a minute, devil. Just shut your mouth. Huh? Yeah. He whispers to me, too.
Yeah,
he does. He does.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach Sunday morning. If I don't change my mind, Lord, don't give me something else. On. Who told you that? Huh? He talks to me just like he does you.
Come on now.
But you know what the dividing line is? When you let his words become your thoughts and you begin to meditate upon that, it becomes your thoughts.
Yes.
And it becomes your words.
Good.
And that's where we get into trouble.
Jesus.
So I say, shut up, devil. Huh?
Good.
Well, you say hide and watch. I don't really want you to hide. I just want you to watch. Because when he brings me out, he's going to do it like he did the children of Israel with a high hand.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to know that God is with him.
Yeah.
Ain't that how he brought out Joseph? Amen. When he brought him out, brought him up. He was in an undesirable circumstance for 13 years. Amen. He went through that trouble. Amen. He was cast into a dry pit. He was brought out and lied on by Pharaoh's wife. Then he was cast into prison. But the day came, amen, when he was brought up, amen, and put in a high place.
What?
The Lord brought him out and they said, this is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. They realized that God is with him. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to come to the house of God with the mindset that I'm going to get in so good tonight that he's going to bring me out.
Woo!
That when I get up tomorrow, amen, the page is going to be turned and things are going to be different. Amen. What's your outlook tonight? Amen. Are you ready to get out of what you're in?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
How about it, Paul?
You
and Silas, man. Ain't that an amazing story? You know what the Bible said about them? They were put in prison.
You're right.
Not only in prison, but they were put in the prison, the Bible said. And then they were put into the inner prison. And their feet were fast in stocks. They were in it. It's what I call it. In it. I've been there a few times too. Amen. Don't know how we're going to get out of this. And Lord, what are we going to do now? All I know to do is lift up my hands.
Right.
I don't know. David said, I'd faint unless I had believed to see the Lord in the land of the living. I believe to see. Lord have mercy. You in it tonight? You ever been in it like Job? He woke up one morning. I said this the other day. It dawned on me. You know, he didn't lose his health over a period of time like we do when we start getting older. And it wasn't gradual sickness. And he didn't lose his children one at a time. And he didn't lose his money after a period of time. He got up one morning rich. He got up one morning healthy. He got up one morning with a lively family. But by dark he was sick. By dark he was lonely. By dark he was broke. Yet the Bible tells us in Job 1:20 that Job worshipped. Hey man, Job, what are you going to do? You're in it, man. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The only thing I know to do. Hey man, I'm going to worship. I'm going to worship. I'm going to lift him up. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying that my worship doesn't hinge upon my circumstance. My worship doesn't hinge upon my bank account. My worship doesn't hinge upon my health. My worship doesn't hinge upon my, Lord have mercy, upon my marital status. My worship don't hinge upon the coronavirus or the government. But my worship hinges on the fact that he is alive and alive forevermore. Amen. What are you going to do tonight? Amen. You're in it so bad. You should have done had your hands in the air and saying, I'm coming out. Tonight's my night of deliverance. about you, Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
You're surrounded, man.
Come on.
You're surrounded.
Right.
Hey, you're going under this time.
Come on now.
Them Moabites, them Ammonites, the Assyrians, you're surrounded. It's over, Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
You might as well just throw your weapons down and give it up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about throwing them down and giving them up, but I think I'll throw them down and go to the altar, and I'll get in his presence, and that's just what he done.
Right.
Well, what'd you do, Jehoshaphat? He said, I'll tell you what I done. I throw my weapons down, and I picked up my harp.
Help him, God.
I got rid of my soldiers and got my singers.
Yeah.
What are you doing, King? Huh? Lord have mercy. It's a different time. It's a different circumstance. So we're going to have to use, amen, different situation. Different tactics, huh? You can't fight the enemy the same every time. Come on now. So he said, I'm going to put back my soldiers and I'm going to get out my singers.
Yes.
We ain't never saw it on this fashion. That's all right.
Yes, Lord.
That's all right. Amen. So what he do? He got his singers and he got his worshipers and said, line them up, boys. If we're going to die, we're going to die shouting. Singing. If I die, I'm going to die preaching.
Yes, Lord.
I ain't turning back. I ain't about to throw my weapons down unless I'm picking up a guitar. I can't play it, so don't give it up now. You know what I'm saying? I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Great God. Amen, but I can clap my hands. How about it tonight? Oh, clap your hands. All ye people, great unto God, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Psalm 47 and 1. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen. In the original Hebrew, that verse literally means rip up the devil. Amen. Rip up the devil. Amen. I'll tell you what it does. You want to tear the devil up? He's got your nerves on edge. He's got you tore up. Amen. Scared, slapped to death. You're going to catch a virus. I'll tell you what you do. Clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Amen, my Lord. The devil talks to you. Talk back.
Thank you, Lord.
Talk back to him.
Thank you, Lord.
Talk back to him.
Sure.
Amen. Drown him out.
That's right.
Yes.
Thanks, God.
Yes, sir.
You know what my kids, especially my oldest girl, does when she don't want to hear what I'm trying to tell her? She'll turn the volume up on her headphones. Huh? And I'm screaming at her, hey, why didn't you answer me? What I'm going to say, because she's got her headphones in. Huh? Come on now.
Yeah.
When I first got saved, there's an old man, Jack Hartsock, in the church. He said, about where you're at. You watch him when the preacher got tightened him down on him. He'd reach up, turn his hearing aid off. Huh? I'll tell you what.
Come on.
I hope you don't do me that way, because if I see it, I'm going to get down and scream in your face.
That's right.
Brother O told me I was crazy the other day. He just ain't got no clue. Amen. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, God, are you in it tonight? Are you ready to come out of the situation that you're in? Paul and Silas was in that prison. They were in the inner prison. They were fasting stops. They had been beaten for the gospel's sake. Amen. It wasn't for a crime that they had committed, but they were in the will of God. And I'm going to tell you, that trial you're in tonight is tailor-made, fit just for you. Amen. Brother Tony Adams, you mentioned him earlier, used to say, I hear him say it all the time, that God tempers the wind to the shorn lamb. Amen. He's tailor-made your trial and your situation. So here he puts these two men in prison in the will of God. Beaten. You think they felt like singing? I don't really think they felt like singing. But there was something inside of Paul that said, I can lay here and die. Amen. Or I can give God the glory.
Yeah.
Three.
Sit there and die.
Come on now.
Give God the glory.
Come on.
Yeah. Huh? How many of you give a little glory? How many of you give a little more praise? Amen. Are you ready to come out? Before you ever come out, you're going to have to go through.
Yes,
amen.
That's true.
You get in it,
yeah.
You go through it. He said that he'd bring us through the fire and we'd not be burned.
Right.
He'd bring us through the flood and it'd not overflow us. Didn't he say it?
Right.
Amen. Are you ready to come out tonight?
Right.
I'm not tired of my situation.
No,
I'm not tired of being in it. And I'm ready to come out.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I tell you, we need to get in this hour like we have never got in before.
Amen. Right.
I see those lepers sitting there at the gate. Right in the middle of a famine,
yeah,
caused by the enemy. You realize we're in a famine tonight?
Yes, we are.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly like the Bible said.
Yeah.
Not of bread and water.
Right.
Not of preaching of the gospel. No. It's on every corner. It's on every radio station. You can find somebody preaching something.
Yes.
But it's a famine of hearing. Right in the middle of this famine.
Yeah.
Created by the enemy.
Right.
These men realize we're going to sit here and die if we don't get up and do something.
Right.
John, he could not bury God. Throw down his pen and say, I'm not writing another letter.
Precious.
He got down there in the middle of tribulation. He wrote to his people, I'm your companion in tribulation. Huh? I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. Preacher, you know you don't know, not literally. But I know what it's like to face undesirable circumstances and questions. Lord, how's this going to turn out? Lord, what's this going to happen? Oh, Lord, have mercy just a little over. I guess it's been right at 15 years ago. I'm going to tell this right here. There at the home church, Brother Earl, right smack dab in the middle of that platform. Just a little over 15 years ago, my youngest girl will be 15 in December. It was early spring. My wife found out she was pregnant with her. And we went to the doctor. Amen. Several weeks this went on. Every time they do an ultrasound, Brother Tommy, they tell her there's no baby there. Sometimes the body does this. The woman, it feels like she's pregnant, and all these things happen like she's pregnant, but it's just a fluid sac there, and we have to remove that, Brother Jason. And they told her that, amen, week after week, and he kept telling her we're going to have to remove that DNC and do this and do that. And we kept believing God was going to move, but it was getting to the place that they said it was going to be dangerous. Amen. She didn't have something done that could rupture, that could set up an infection. Amen. So we went to church one night. You know, brother, I've always got a word from the Lord. I've always got a word to comfort my wife when she's in trouble. Oh, yeah. You believe that, you're crazier than I am. We were driving down the road one night. My wife looked at me and said, well, have you heard anything? I said, what do you mean? She said, God spoke to you. I said, I ain't heard nothing. The heavens are silent. Matter of fact, they feel like brass when I try to pray. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. All I know to do is we're going to church tonight, and we're going to give God one more opportunity to move.
Yes.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Holy God.
We went to church that night. Brother Darrell Allen was still pastoring there. And I remember standing right in the middle of that pulpit and the young people singing, amen, and the power of God fall. And I fell flat on my back. And I didn't know how it was going to turn out, Brother Earl. I wished I could tell you I did, but I knew that God was doing something.
Right.
And when we went back to the doctor, my wife walked in there. I walked with her. We walked back here, Brother Jason. They done that ultrasound. She turned the screen around and said, there's no baby, there's no heartbeat. Same thing we've been seeing for weeks. We got to do something today. We got to make a decision today. Listen to me. You talk about crushed. We left out of there. She told them, I'll be back in 45 minutes. We're going to do that again. Trying to call her. They said, okay, that's fine. You come back in 45 minutes. We went down to the Peking Chinese restaurant. I went in there and stress eat. Hey, man, I'm telling you, she come in. She disappeared. She went to the restroom. I didn't know where she went, but when she come back, she said, I'm not going back. I said, you got to go back. We got to do something today. I didn't know she'd been in there praying. Brother Earl, we went in that doctor's office. We knew the doctor well. He delivered all three of my children. And we went in there, and that same nurse put that doctor on her stomach, and she moved it, and she moved it. And I could tell by the look on her face something was going on, and I was getting nervous. And she moved it, and she moved it. And finally, she turned the screen around, and she said, I don't understand. I've been doing this for years.
Holy Lord.
45 minutes ago, there wasn't no baby there, and there wasn't no heartbeat. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be far enough along for a heartbeat. My God, there's a baby, and there's a heartbeat, and it looks like it's going to be healthy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you man of God. Of course he was. Oh, sir. Lord have mercy. I wish I could tell you I had faith. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if it was going to work out. I did what I knew to do, and that was go to the house of God and say, I don't know how this is going to be tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen down the road. And God, it's in your hands, and I'm getting your presence. I'm going to get in the Spirit. Amen. I can sit here and let it happen, or I can get in the presence of God and hope it'll be better tomorrow. It's up to you what you do with it. Amen. I said your outlook will affect your outcome, your choice, your decision to worship God in the middle of your darkest night might be the very thing that turns the light on in your circumstance. Yes, he sits here 15 years later. Amen. A miracle by the power of God. Amen. I'm telling you, we've still got that ultrasound somewhere. And we rode right on it. She wasn't there. But now she is. Amen. I don't know your circumstance. Amen. Your bank account might have been empty when you come in with a foreclosure tomorrow. But you might check it tomorrow and it have more than enough. I don't know. I know he put meal in the widow's barrel. Amen. I know he put breath in that widow's son. Amen. I know he brought Lazarus out. Amen. My God, tonight, I don't know where you're at or what you're in, but I know if you get in the Spirit, he can bring you out.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm at the place I need to close. Amen. But I feel like somebody right here tonight, you've been asking God why. Amen. I'll tell you why. I've told you why already. He wants to reveal himself to you.
Come on. Yes, Lord.
Do you want to know him?
Right.
Do you want to know him?
Oh God.
When you desire to draw nigh unto God, the circumstances and the path to get there is oftentimes undesirable.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Our pastor tells all the time. Brother Earl's probably heard him tell it before he went full-time evangelist this last time before he pastored. He went back on the field. He was farming. He had all kinds of trucks. Man, he had a big business going for him. He'd owned several big trucks and had a contract through Walmart and Schneider pulling freight from the distribution center there in London. Several big trucks. He'd been driving a truck for years. Years. Not a novice. Instead of being out on the evangelist field like he felt like he needed to be, he was there making big money, cashing in the bucks. He's told it more than once. Brother Earl, one night he backed his truck in under that trailer, knew he had it locked in, and went to pull out, and the trailer hit the ground. Something I'd do because I ain't never drove one. Lost his contract, lost his trucks, went flat bankrupt, realized how bad he needed to be back to preaching. Huh? And all the way back to God sometimes is an undesirable circumstance.
Right.
Brother Billy told us the other night he could pull us out if we can stay in the pool.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to get out by getting in.
Amen.
Amen. I want him to reveal himself to me.
Jesus.
I'm going to turn this back over to the pastors. We all stand tonight. I get ready to close. I do not know your circumstance.
Come on, brother.
I feel like tonight that somebody needs out of the situation that they're in.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. You need God to pull you out.
Jesus.
I'll give you answer. It's to get in. To get in, to worship, to seek the face of God until he clothes you with his
presence. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Moses would have never been the man he was and the leader he was if he not had been on the backside of the desert.
That's right.
Right.
David would have never known how to deal with the giant had he not been found in the wilderness.
Yes.
Amen. You need to get in tonight.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, this precious coal that we've mined for years is found in undesirable circumstances.
Yeah.
Diamonds are found in undesirable circumstances and formed under pressure.
Right.
Yeah. Thank God. Right.
Amen. Your circumstance is not greater than the God that puts you there.
Right.
That's right.
Amen. I heard a preacher some time ago, and I've used it, said it with the, we quote that text, with every trial, there's a way of escape. He said, God designed a special trapdoor in your situation.
Yeah.
You get to looking for him.
Yeah.
And you get to seeking him, he'll bring you out.
Thank you, Lord.
He made a way of escapes there.
Jesus.
You just got to get to looking for him.
Yes.
Amen. Come on, Brother Jason, I'm going to turn this back to you. Your way out is to get in.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Hey, well, that's good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Somebody gets a song up here. Amen. Tell you what's a Brendan South, don't it?
Right.
Amen. He mentioned diamonds and coal and the pearl. Praise God. That pearl, it's formed under pressure. Praise God. Under pain. Amen. I tell you, God's got a reason, don't it? God's got a purpose. Amen. Lord, bring us out. Bring us out. Come on, church. Let's gather around here. Find us a place to pray. I can't add nothing to what your brother said. Amen. That's so good. Preach to us here tonight. Lord, will you help us, God? Lord, will you bring me out of this place, God? I know you can. Nobody else can, but God can. Hallelujah. Bring us out, Lord. Bring us out. Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you for your help tonight.